going to continue in a message series, probably the final of this series, in a series that we're calling Lost Arts. And we have discussed over the last several weeks different aspects to our faith that maybe when Christianity was started, and you might think Christianity was started, yeah, when the church was established after Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came on, the 120 in the upper room, and it birthed what we know as the church today, carrying the message of Jesus and the gospel forward. There were some specific things that they did and would do that were so integral and a part of their faith that it was life to them, that somewhere over the last 2,000 years as a church, maybe we have forgotten or didn't make as much of a priority. So in this series, we've been touching on a few of these things. And what we have kind of subtitled this is Finding New Passion in Old Places. New passion in old places, because the word of God is true and it works for 1,000 generations if we apply it to our lives. Amen? So today I want to talk to you about the lost art of thanksgiving. The lost art of thanksgiving. And you might say, well, I don't think it's a lost art. We eat around the table every year. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Thanksgiving wasn't established by the Pilgrims and the Indians, way back somewhere. Thanksgiving is actually a biblical concept and a biblical command found in Scripture that was really commanded to the church, and that's what we're going to see today. But I want to take a little bit of a different spin on it, because what I believe is essential with when it comes to Thanksgiving is it releases the supernatural into our lives. It's going to be the kind of the recurring theme. Thanksgiving releases the supernatural into our lives. And I think if there's any time in history where we need the supernatural power of God in our lives, it would be right now. Amen. So one thing I need you to do this morning is sometimes I think we don't always receive a message what God is saying because we filter it through, well, I've heard this before and I know about Thanksgiving. But sometimes if we just take our blinders off there for a second and just lean in with a fresh perspective, I believe that God can speak and do something significant in your life. Recently, the Lord had been convicting me in regards to this aspect of Thanksgiving. I can be one who can focus sometimes on the negative and focus on what we don't have versus what we do have. And the Lord had challenged me with this. And before I make any request or make any plea in my prayer time, he really challenged me to just spend some time thanking him for what we do have and where we are and the breath in my lungs and, you know, all of those basic things. And what I have found for me personally is that it has transformed my prayer life when I would just spend a little bit of time intentionally giving thanks to God. Just calling out some of those things. And it's not a big thing, but what I found is the Holy Spirit would show up in my prayer times in a way that I had not anticipated or had felt at any recent time when I'm just coming saying, all right, God, here's my list. Here's what I need. Here's what we got to do. But when I would approach it by saying, you know what, God, I just want to start off by saying right from the top, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for, and just fill in the blanks. What I have found is suddenly by the time I get to my petition part, there's very little to petition. There's very little to petition, and not that there aren't real needs, but what began to happen in my own mind is as I recounted his faithfulness and what he's already done, it just birthed in me and does still, but it just brings up in you this satisfaction of if he brought all of this, if he's in control of all of this, then surely he's going to be in control of what is yet to come. Can I get any amens in the house this morning? So if you want an increase of the anointing to come on your prayer times and your worship times, I encourage you just carve out a little bit of time of just saying thanks and just recounting the blessings of God and giving praise for what he's already done. So Thanksgiving is not, or shouldn't be really in the life of a believer, an occasional or spontaneous acknowledgement of a good thing, but really it should be something that is mapped out daily in the life of a believer in our prayer times. And when we see God doing something small and even insignificant, just offering praise and thanksgiving back to Him. It's more than singing, it's more than clapping. But here's the first point if you're taking notes today. But thanksgiving is an expression of trust that keeps us conscious of God's presence. Thanksgiving is an expression of trust that keeps us conscious of God's presence. That's why I said when I would begin to just thank God, suddenly all of those requests would start to fall down the ladder. Why? Because suddenly I'm aware of His goodness, and I'm aware of His presence, and I'm conscious that He's working in my life, and I'm conscious that He's for me, and I'm conscious that He's fighting for me. And most often what happens is now my prayer goes into praise, and I'm thanking and glorifying God without even making any petitions or requests. And I can walk away with full confidence of knowing that God is doing, and I don't even have to ask for one thing. Why? Because He who has begun a good work will be faithful to its completion. So if He brought me this far, He didn't bring me this far to fail me now. Come on, somebody. So now I can walk out and say, God, I don't even have to waste my time on that. I know You already have it. Look at what You've already done. Look what You've already brought me through. Look how You've already healed my body. Look how You already brought me through the midnight hour. I know if You've done it before, You will do it again. Amen. I believe when this demonstration is demonstrated in our, this definition is demonstrated in our lives, we will begin to see the supernatural begin to manifest in our lives like never before. Amen? So we need to build this into the life of the believer. And really, there's a second point if you're taking notes. The absence of thankfulness is self-trust. If I'm not thankful, it means there's this element of self-trust, and that's a pretty word to say, pride. Just didn't want to have to go down that road today, but the absence of thankfulness is self-trust. It's, well, you know, I had a part in it. I played a part in it. I was there. I had the conversation. Listen, without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Without Him, He can snipe the breath right out of our lungs in a moment. Without Him, we would be absolutely helpless and hopeless. So if thankfulness isn't built into the life of a believer, and thankfulness isn't what's coming from a believer, there's often this essence of self-trust or pride that has to be dealt with. And the reason why I think this is so important, we need to look at this with fresh eyes and ears, is thankfulness is one of the most profound weapons that God has given us in our spiritual arsenal. Do you mean thankfulness is an act of spiritual warfare? Absolutely. Absolutely. Spiritual warfare is more than just quoting scriptures and cursing devils. Sometimes the greatest aspect of spiritual warfare is walking around with joy. Come on, it's walking around, you know, it's not taking my peace, it's not taking my joy, it's not gonna rob me of my thanksgiving. I don't care what the attacks are, I don't care what the arrows are, I've got my shield of faith up, I'm standing strong on the word of the Lord, and it will not move me. I'll smile, and it's not like I'm pretending like nothing's ever happening in my world. No, it's that I have a higher power than what's happening in my world. I have a higher authority than what's happening in my world, and God has always been faithful, and He's always come through. Therefore, an act of spiritual warfare is standing in the middle of a mess with my hands lifted up and giving thanks to God for His goodness. Even when I don't see it manifesting right now in this situation, I know He's been good. I know He is good. I know He's not just love, but He is love within itself. And His love for me gives me confidence to know that He's working on my behalf. So right there in the middle of a situation, I can have confidence and thanksgiving as an act of spiritual warfare against the adversary attacking my life. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Let me give you a little Bible. That'd probably be good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says this, give thanks, very familiar portion of scripture, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. you. And I want to point something out because I have heard so many sermons where this has been preached, in my opinion, wrong. Because they will say, well, if you got a bad report from the doctor, well, thank God for it. Well, you know, if you lost your job, well, then just thank God for it, because then that was just God's will for your life. How many of you know God's will for your life, and I've said this time and time again, is not guaranteed, right? We know that. Why? The Bible says that, you know, his will is that all should come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus, but not all will, right? So the will of God isn't guaranteed. So what he's saying is things will happen in your life that aren't the will of God. So in all of these things, we don't give thanks for them, right? We don't give thanks for everything, but we give thanks in everything. Difference there. Right? Fact might be the report from the doctor doesn't look good. But what I don't do is I don't take that report and say, well, then this is God's will for me. Thank you, God. You're teaching me something through it. No. That's fact, but there's truth. Truth says, by his stripes, I am healed. So while I have the report in my hand, I'm not unacknowledging that it's real. I can stand in face of that fact in the truth of God and declare his goodness and give him thanks. Come on. So in all circumstances, in all circumstances, we give thanks. We don't give God thanks for the car wreck, right? No, we don't do that. But we're thankful in all circumstances. How many of you know it's in circumstances where you need the supernatural to show up? That's when you need God to do something significant in your life. And in those moments is when you have to open up that filing cabinet sometimes. Say, let me scan through. Let me think about some good things. That's why your Bible says, think on these things. Things that are of a good report, right? Like it gives us this whole command of even how to think. Right? Why? Because he's saying, if you can just keep yourself in a place of gratitude and thankfulness, you will soar above the trials and calamity and the problems of this life. Like there's this cool thing about an eagle. Eagles have, these eyelashes, I guess you would call them, or eyelids that come down, but then they have a second one that's almost like a visor. They have two sets. And what's interesting about that is an eagle can fly directly into the sun. One of the only animals that can do that. So when an eagle is being chased by a prey or attacked, all it has to do is fly directly into the sun, and instantly whatever's chasing it is blinded and can't do it. And that's what thankfulness does. And we keep our eyes fixed on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. I'm not denying that there's an adversary. I'm not denying there's attack. I'm not denying God has to work some things out in me. But what I'm saying is when I keep my eyes fixed on the Son, when I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, it just causes these other things to just fall off and go away. Why? Because I'm living a life of gratitude. Come on. So we're thankful in every circumstance. So we wake up in the morning and we say, Father, thank you that I woke up. You know, listen, I was telling some people this week, I hurt my neck randomly, pulled a muscle in it. And then, you know, my pillows just don't seem right after that. And finally the other night, I thought, okay, I woke up and my neck was feeling all right. And I thought, okay, good. Finally got that, sat up, and there went the back. This is what 40 is, right? But you know, I was complaining about it that day. And something that somebody said to me a while ago, the Holy Spirit reminded me. And they said, never complain about getting older, because so many people were never graced with that opportunity. And I began, when I remembered that, I began to think about that, of how many people never made it to 40, never made it to 50. And here I'm walking around, yeah, this is not good. I mean, this is where it's going. It's all downhill. And man, I just wish it wasn't this way. And it's like, how many people would have given their life to just reach the age of 40? And then suddenly it's like, all right, God, thanks. Thank you that I'm alive. The back might still hurt, but thank you that I'm here. Thank you that I'm breathing. Thank you that I'm present with my little kids. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have transportation to get where I need to go. Thank you that I'm healthy. Thank you that my immunity is strong. I thank you for every little thing in my life. I thank you for it. Amen. Come on. If you look close enough, you can always find somebody else who's had it worse. You can find somebody else who has walked through more hardship and more calamity. And I'm not saying that, you know, we do this out of like, yeah, you know, their life is just worse than mine. No, we do this out of a spirit of we always can find something to be thankful for. Maybe you're believing for that unsaved loved one to come, you know, back to the saving knowledge of Christ, or a husband or a child. And you know, right now it doesn't look like, you know, that's manifesting. But let's give God thanks that that husband, that wife, that child is alive and breathing, that the grace of God is extended to them, that he's covered them, and that they're here and that they're present. Come on. They may not be where you want them to be, but they're here. So we can always, always find something to be grateful for. So this verse says, for this is the will of God concerning you. And I love this because everybody is looking for the will of God for their life. Two biggest questions a pastor gets: how do I hear from God and what's his will for my life? How do I hear from God and what's his will for my life? Well, we just found out. What's the will of God? This is the will. In all circumstances, give thanks. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, what job does he want me to take? In all circumstances, give thanks. Here's what I have found is that God is big enough and strong enough that even when I make the wrong decision, he's big enough to get me back where I need to be, as long as I keep my attitude right, as long as I keep my praise on, as long as I keep a heart of gratitude. His Father, you know, I thought this is what you want me to do, but now I'm realizing that maybe it isn't, but I'm gonna keep my attitude right. I'm gonna bless those around me. I'm gonna keep my eyes fixed on you, and you are big enough to get me back to where I need to be. What's the will of God concerning you? Give thanks. I don't know what to do, Pastor. Give thanks. It doesn't look good and the report's real bad. Give thanks. They've walked away from the gospel. They've denied that Jesus is Lord. Give thanks. The bills are piling up and it looks like they're gonna take my house. Give thanks. Come on, somebody. So are we good at this? Are we doing this? Are we finding that we're faithful to give thanks in all circumstances? Or like me, are we often overrun by that temptation to grumble and mumble and complain? Again, like I said, I have to check myself with that quite often. But God's been too good to be grumbling and complaining. And you've heard me say this before, but most of the things that I grumble and complain about are things that don't matter in the long run anyway, right? Like, I told you before, when I was little, my mom taught me that, you know, when Christ comes back and he establishes a new heaven and the earth, the Bible says the earth will be destroyed with fire. And she always said, well, it's all gonna burn up anyway, right? So does it really matter what year car I drive? Because what? It's all gonna burn up anyway. It doesn't matter how big my home is. It's all gonna burn up anyway. Is it really matter in the scope of eternity that I'm going to live for eternity, whether or not I was accepted for the promotion or not? I mean, like, in the scope of eternity, this life is like the most smallest minute amount of time, and I'm gonna live in a heavenly mansion with on streets paved with gold, with walls of diamonds and jubies and all kind of, you know, glorious things. I'm gonna be in the presence of God. Like, does it really matter that much? And I'm not saying that he doesn't want to give you the desires of your heart. I'm not saying God doesn't want to bless you just as you would want to bless your own earthly children. But I think the blessings would flow more freely in your life when we hold stuff loosely. When it's like, God, I appreciate it. I use it. I'll bless other people with it. But it doesn't have me, because I'm just thankful to be here. I'm just thankful to be in the game. I'm just thankful to be saved. I'm thankful to have my eternity secure. I'm thankful that God has found me in the miry clay and picked me up and put me on a rock to stay. Come on. Yes. Yes. So if he says this is his will, he has to have a reason for that. He says, I want you to be thankful in all circumstances. I believe that God is waiting for our thanksgiving to perfect his plan and purpose for your life. To perfect his plan and purpose for your life. He's just waiting on your thanksgiving. So let's start walking. Let's be the most grateful church to ever exist. Let's start walking in a spirit of thanksgiving. Listen, when you live a life of thanksgiving, it doesn't take the worship team, you know, 25 minutes to get you pumped up and primed up. Like, you come ready. Don't mean you don't got problems, but you're ready. You survived another week. You're here. God saved you. You're going to heaven. If he never does another thing for you, he has saved your soul from eternal damnation, from the fires of the pit of hell forever. If he never does anything else, if he never healed your body, if he never put a check in the mail, if he never gave you a desire of your heart, if he never did any of that, you would still have enough reason to stand here and lift your hands and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, that when I close my eyes from this people planet, and I know where I'm going. Come on, so we give thanks in everything. And many of us, we are thankful people. And we cultivate a thankful heart over a lot of things, over acknowledging God's role and providing for our jobs and our children and our blessings. But I think where the hardship comes in is there are some things that we just have a hard time giving thanks in. And we justify it with things like, well, it's the work of the enemy. Or bad things that happen I can't be thankful for. But God says, give thanks in all things. So again, I'm not saying we thank God for the bad things. What I'm saying is if you are in a season of your life that's hard, difficult, and you find yourself unable to give God thanks in that arena, then what you're saying is that thing has more authority over you than God. It has the ability to stop my tongue from giving praise. It has the ability to cause me to doubt God in this situation. I give him praise for my kids. I give him praise for when the check's in there. I do all of that. But now an attack comes out of left field and there's some bad things manifesting in my life. Why is this thing tormenting me? It's not from God, and it's not God. But when I understand the love of God and I understand the goodness of God, even in that attack from the left field, I know he's for me, not against me. And I know there's a promise in my Bible that says he will make all things, everybody say all things work together for the good of those who love him. So God can use what the enemy intended for evil and turn it for our benefit. And it's through that expression of thankfulness that we bring the most difficult aspect of our lives into the grace of God, allowing him to use it for our benefit. So how do I get an attack out of left field, out of the devil's hands and into God's hands? Thank you, Roseanne. By giving thanks. You might have brought this to my table, but I'm not going to let you sit at my table. So now I'm going to give thanks for it on my table, allow God to put his hand in it, and use what the enemy meant for evil for my benefit. The enemy might have had the boss dislike me to lose my job. I wasn't expecting that. All right. God, I thank you. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You provide for all of my needs according to your riches in glory. David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I believe that I am your seed. I believe that you will provide for me. I believe that you are my God. And I thank you. I thank you for the job. I thank you for making a way. I thank you for making provision. And suddenly God is now releasing things into my life. Why? Because my heart is positioned in a place of gratitude. So thankfulness is an expression of trust that keeps us conscious of God's presence. There's this interesting thing, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in Exodus 33:11, you can read it for yourself. But we see Moses after seeing God's glory up on the mountain, and he comes down and he was presented with all kind of problems and issues. And here's where I think we miss it, because he saw and heard clearly God's will on the mountain. But then he comes down and there's all kind of problems. And I think what so often happens is many times when the problems start coming in, we start forgetting what God initially said. We hear another report, we hear a bad thing. This one's saying, well, that you can't believe that, you can't believe this. And all of a sudden we're doubting what really God said. But one of the things I think was so interesting is that verse of scripture in Exodus 33:11 says that Moses completed building the temple. What I want to say is, in spite of all of the opposition and all of the problems, his thanksgiving to God kept him connected with what God had initially said. It shut off the other voices. Come on. Even in the most challenging times, it'll shut off the other voices. Thanksgiving keeps us connected. I want to show you something in Luke 17, verse 13. And Jesus is coming and he encounters these guys who got healed of leprosy. And he was expecting them all to acknowledge, and many of you know this story. Let's read it together in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. I want you to see something, is that there were 10 lepers, and he told all of them, here's was his command, go and show yourself to the priest. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Did they fulfill the obligation of what Jesus had told them to do? Yeah. Didn't do anything wrong. They weren't in sin. Actually, they were all healed of leprosy. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. But here's what's interesting about thanksgiving. One of the 9 was so overwhelmed with what God had done. Listen, that he disobeyed what God had said to return to the feet of Jesus and give thanks. Radical thanksgiving, right? But here's what I want you to see. He says unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. Well, hold on a minute, because a few verses above that, it says that as they went, they were cleansed. And now, after this act of extravagant thanksgiving, Jesus says, now go your way, you're made whole. Well, what's the difference here? Wasn't he already cleansed? Let me help you. The first was their healing. All right. Now, most of us have never suffered leprosy, but if you look at leprosy, what often happens is chunks of flesh and parts of the body literally begin to fall off. They could have had missing limbs, missing fingers, big chunks of flesh totally gone. So in the first release of the healing of God, he said, go, you are healed. You're cleansed. You're healed. Go show yourself to the priest. But it didn't say anything about restoring that which was broken and stolen as a result of the attack. They were healed. The leprosy was gone. But it didn't say anything about broken fingers coming back. It didn't say anything about pockets of flesh missing from their body being restored. Oh, I want to help us today. I would have been good to just get what I got. I don't have leprosy. I don't have a right leg and I'm missing three fingers on my other hand, but I don't have leprosy. This is good. This is great. This is extravagant. This is amazing. And I would have been good right there. But one said, "This, I gotta thank him." And this act of extravagant thanksgiving caused Jesus to look at the man and say, now go and you will be made whole. Do you know what that word means? It means nothing missing, nothing broken. What would a leper suffer from? Missing and broken body parts. So can I submit to you that all 10 were healed of leprosy, but one had restored back into his life everything that the devil stole from him. Why? Because he practiced an extravagant act of thanksgiving. What I'm trying to say to you is you can be saved and cleansed and on your way to heaven and know God, but still have missing pockets in your life of what the enemy stole from you. But an act of gratitude and thanksgiving to God can cause God to stand up and say, now, not only are you healed, not only are you forgiven, not only are you saved, but I'm going to restore back into your life 7 times everything the enemy stole. Why? Because you turned around and you said, I got to give him thanks. I have to give him praise. If there's anything missing and broken in your life, here's what he declares to you today. Be made whole through an extravagant act of thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. Never underestimate the power of your praise. Never underestimate the power of giving thanks to God. It gets heaven's attention. If none of them had come back, Jesus would have went on his way. They were healed. But when one came back, he even asked, where's the other 9 then? Why, it caught his attention. This one, it's like you can't keep a good man down. It's like this one. It's like Job when the enemy came in and took everything he had from him. And he's still saying, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. God, he has some people in the house this morning that the enemy threw his best shots. And he's still looking saying, but this one, they just won't sit down. They just won't shut up. They just won't take what the enemy gave them. There's a part of them that has to get up and push back and give God praise regardless of the circumstance. And can I tell you, it gets the attention of God. So we might be a rowdy bunch. We might make a little bit too much noise. We might get a little bit crazy and extravagant in our worship, but we've got a whole lot to be thankful for. And some of us are glad that we're healed and glad that we're saved, but some of us are on a mission to be made whole. Everything stolen, everything broken, every mental attack, every sleepless night restored back into my life. And it comes through an act of gratitude. Jesus even participated in the act of thanksgiving. I'm going to show you this in John 6:11. Again, very familiar passage of scripture, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, They dispersed them to those who were seated, also the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Hey, I like that. So that they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten. What I want you to see is, what did Jesus start with? Not enough. Like, I know he's God, but he still had the loaves and the fishes. He still had not enough in his hand. And the very first thing he did with not enough is, it says, after he gave thanks. Pastor Rod Parsley always says, if what's in your hand isn't big enough to be your harvest, then it must be your seed. Yep. If the loaves and the fish aren't enough, give thanks, because I've got seed for a bigger harvest. And Jesus giving thanks to God, I believe, invoked the supernatural power of God released on the loaves and fish, so much so that they gathered up 12 baskets and five baskets from the five loaves. Giving thanks, even in the life of Jesus, released supernatural power. If it worked for Jesus, it'll work for us. Supernatural power showed up as a result of giving thanks. This act of thanksgiving multiplied what seemed insufficient and turned it into abundance. Do you have anything insufficient in your life today? Even on the night of his betrayal, Jesus did the same thing in the midst of his betrayal. He fully knew what the devil had gotten Judas to do, and that Judas was going to sell him out and all of those things. But it says he broke the bread and gave thanks with his disciples. What I think thanksgiving does is it sanctifies the situation. If you're taking notes, this is important. It cleanses our involvement and makes it usable for God's glory. Say that again. It cleanses our involvement and makes it usable for God's glory. I told you before, the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. So as long as I'm involved, I have authority over it. But the moment I release it and say, God, this is yours, now he can get involved. An act of thanksgiving cleanses our involvement from it and makes it usable for God's glory. Listen to what 1 Timothy 4:4 says. And Paul writes, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So again, we don't give thanks for the situation, but even if it showed up in our life with a heart of gratitude, I can give thanks in the situation and it won't be rejected. It will be used for my good. It's like that old story of the donkey being thrown into the pit. And you know, they shoveled the dirt in there and it just helped him climb out. It's like the devil had you in a pit, and everything he throws at you, it's meant to bury you. But because you have a heart of gratitude, that soil, instead of burying you, just turns into a stepping stone to elevate you. That's what gratitude does. Like, that thing should have shut them up, shut them down, caused them to doubt God, caused them to walk away, caused them to forget all of his goodness. But what have they done? They've turned it into more praise. And what is the devil going to do with a group of people who just won't sit down and take it, but stand up and say, God, even if it's at my door, I'm going to give you praise through it and cause it to work for my benefit. Again, I want to show you this happening in the life of Jesus real quickly. John 11:41. And this is where they're raising Lazarus from the dead. We all know this story, but here's what it says. They took away the stone. Lazarus is still dead. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I thank you that you heard me." Even calling Lazarus forth from the tomb, what was his first step? "Father, I thank you that you hear me." Again, can I submit to you, thanksgiving releases the supernatural in your world. It's the key to supernatural power. Team, you can come. So thanksgiving attracts the attention of heaven. Thanksgiving causes what the enemy meant for evil to be turned for your good. Thanksgiving releases supernatural power into your life. So I want to encourage you today. You know, if you sit around the Thanksgiving table this week, and you know, they go through, say what you're thankful for, and everybody makes something up. "Oh, I'm thankful for my family. We love you." You know. Do me a favor and just get a little Pentecostal on them. Just push the mashed potatoes out of the way. Get up on that table and start preaching the gospel about the goodness of God. Come on. Nobody's coming to our house but my wife and kids, so I can get away with it. But really, this thing is more than just about Thursday. It's warfare. It's warfare. Can I submit this in closing? One of the greatest setbacks to a believer is unforgiveness and strife. Will hold somebody back quicker and faster than anything. And so what the enemy likes to do is to get you to hold on to that unforgiveness, that bitterness, is rehearse the event over and over. And if your fights with your spouse are anything like mine, it's always funny because sometimes, and maybe there's other guys in the room like this, I know we were fighting this morning about something, but I don't remember what it was about. So like, I'll go throughout the day and like, "Yeah, I wanted to text her that, but like, no, we're fighting, but I don't remember what it was about." So you have that whole weird, then when you see each other at dinner, like, "Hey," because I just don't remember. So my point is, it's easier to forgive because I just don't remember what even really what happened. And she's like, "I can tell you exactly what happened 8 years ago and what you were wearing and the temperature of the room and what was going on," right? And that might be differences a little bit in men and women, but I will say across the board though, when people struggle with strife and anger and bitterness, it's usually because the enemy has reminded them over and over and over and over and over again of the event. "I know this person has done 80 great things, but here, they did that. They said that. They did it, they did it, they did it. They did it. I was there, I saw it, they did it." But thanksgiving helps replace those memories with acts of gratitude towards God. I'm saying, "You know what, God, that was rough and that hurt and that was hard, but I thank you that your love for that person was so extravagant that you came from heaven to earth, that you showed up on the scene for them, that you love them." I've often said, you cannot hold bitterness against somebody that you are continually praying for. It's almost impossible. There's something that happens. It's almost impossible that if I'm praying for that person, why? There's that supernatural transfer that now I'm replacing the memory of what happened with acts of prayer and gratitude. Let's stand to our feet. let's start walking in thanksgiving intentionally. Let's reclaim the lost art of giving thanks in the life of a believer. And maybe you're sitting here today and man, you can count on both hands and both sets of toes all of your problems. And maybe some of your problems are substantial. Maybe some of your problems are legitimately scary. But one of the core values of our church is witness my revival. What that means is we believe that God is always at work. And I believe that sometimes God will perform a little miracle just to let you know he's working on the big ones. And sometimes that little miracle might be a flower that you like showing up. It might be $20 in a pair of pants that you haven't worn in 2 years, right when you needed it the most. Come on. It might be getting that front parking spot. And you might call it coincidence. I just call it the favor of God on my life, letting him know, letting me know that he's for me and not against me, that he loves me and he's working in my benefit. And though I may not see the full scale of the manifestation of all these big things in my life, it's those little things that if I'm looking, I will see. What you look for, you will always see. If I'm looking for the negative, if I'm looking for how God's gonna fail me, if I'm looking on how he's gonna reject me, how he's gonna walk away from me, guess what I'm gonna see? But if I'm looking, so Father, would you help us? Would you help us be a people and a church of extravagant thanksgivers? And we don't deny the trials, we don't deny circumstance, but we replace it. We surrender those things to you and we replace it with acts of praise and gratitude. Because even if we leave this world tomorrow, we know where we're going. We know where we will spend eternity. So would you help us fight spiritual battles, spiritual warfare through the lost art of thanksgiving? Amen.